What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes. We flipped the calendar. February the 1st. DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Before we get to the Knicks and what was a really just a very painful, difficult game to watch last night, we'll get to the football. Aaron Rodgers feels like that is a story that continues and has more excitement around it. Before we get to any of it, and of course let you know that Wednesday, hump day, Stump Rothenberg at 7:45, we say good morning to everyone's favorite goalie, and that of course is my best friend, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing fantastic. I got some big, beautiful breaking news for you at some point, whenever you want it.
Big news! Jazz hands! All right, give me something. Is it sports related? Is it show related? Like, where is the big news stem from?
Show related
big yep. news. Here's what my guess is going to be. You were up in Bristol yesterday.
That's right.
And you ran into someone that said something about the show.
No, that did happen, but that's not the big, beautiful breaking news.
I don't know. Is it worthy of leading the show with the big news? Is it something we shelve and bring back later in the 6 or 7 o'clock hour? I don't know the big news, so I'm gonna leave it up to you.
I think we could probably shelve it. I just wanted to tease it to let you know that there is some news I'd like to share. I think you guys will all be proud of me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we're typically very proud of you.
This could take it to a different kind of level, though.
I like it. By the way, isn't today a big day in your life?
Today is a humongous day in not my life, yeah, but my wife's
well,
life.
Well, yep. I mean, it is in your life because your wife is maybe the biggest part of your life, and she's celebrating a whopping big birthday today.
Big, huge birthday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you her age, but it's
no,
a big birthday.
No, 30.
She's not overly excited
20.
About it.
Yeah.
But we will take today to just celebrate her greatness.
Yes, I think we should. Happy birthday.
Because without her, there would be no me. I can promise you all that.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way about you and about me, and I agree with that. I think there'd be an RJ without Ange, though. Like, I think RJ is a fully functional human being.
Unless all of a sudden they didn't have his yogurts at Costco, and then who the hell knows where he ends up.
And then he's in the fetal position in the corner.
That could send him into a spiral.
Right. But if one of the three of us you'd look at and say, which one is the least reliant on their significant other? Not that he doesn't love her, not that he doesn't need her and or want her, but least reliant? Clearly, RJ.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's the youngest of the three of us, and he's the most mature adult of the three of us.
Not. I don't even think it's a question.
No, I don't even think we're in the same. I mean, same atmosphere.
No,
with him,
I think it would be stratosphere.
Atmosphere, yeah. Stratosphere. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Very
and
early.
I fully and wholeheartedly agree with you. So I'll text you later, maybe with a special message for your lovely wife. But before we even get started with the day, that's the theme of the day. Big birthday, happy birthday to Cass, from all of us to her, okay? You make sure you send that along.
I absolutely will.
All right, so we have Stump Rothenberg today. That's good news.
Oh, yeah.
Right, 7:45, Stump Rothenberg. That's good news. You know what's not good news, Rick?
The Knicks?
Yeah, I tell you. And you know what? It occurred to me last night as I'm watching the game. And it goes to overtime. They have a little mini comeback, and then it goes to overtime, and then, of course, they lose it in overtime. Most teams, they have the momentum. It goes to overtime. They win. Not the Knicks, right? But it occurred to me why I got so annoyed at you last week when you were crapping all over that win against Boston. You know why? Because there's so many times to do it. There's so many mornings to wake up and destroy them that a win is not a morning I'm going to do it. But last night, so frustrating, so annoying, and it really defined why I can't stand Julius Randle.
I just don't understand why you put him in that spot in that moment. Like, the most likely to make that decision on the court of the five guys, and now R.J. Barrett didn't play, and we could talk about that in a little bit, just quickly was the better option for Tom, you know, for Tibbs in that moment.
That's a problem, though.
I mean, it's almost the last 7 minutes of the fourth. I mean, that's what, 6:51 of the fourth all the way through overtime. He went with that lineup. So, yeah, that's a problem. But, I mean, I just don't know why the ball is not in Jalen Brunson's hands in that spot.
Well, why is he inbounding the ball? Like, what are we doing?
Well, unless the thought was, I mean, we had to have some Tibbs sound.
Oh, we have a lot of Tibbs sound.
The thought that was that Randle was going to draw the two, and then he could
and then kick it over,
take a shot, or dish it.
Really, you thought Randle was going to draw the double team and then be unselfish? And also, it takes him forever to make these decisions and to get stuff done. You had 4 seconds left.
Well, it's not only just that though. It was the you go to overtime where you had the ridiculous. I mean, is that, come on. Can we all be honest here for a second?
What?
Could you really tell if that was a goaltending or not? If that was a goaltend or not?
It didn't look like a goaltend.
If it takes you that long to decide whether or not, if it's called a goaltend and it takes you that long to decide whether or not it is, I mean, can we just say, okay, inconclusive. But I mean,
yeah,
that counts, that's 123-20. But even so, you get a stop and then Randle has the travel.
And then when he was like running across the floor, yeah.
Right, he tries to get up on the break, and then Westbrook makes a shot off the glass, and then for some reason, I don't know why, Hartenstein's taking a corner three for some reason, but yeah. I mean, the execution.
Very frustrating.
I just don't understand why I get that Tibbs loves Randle, and Randle does, I mean, he does draw a lot of attention, but I mean, I think we've seen it enough where he's the person on the team best suited to make the right decision in those moments is Brunson.
And last night he was great. Like, it's not like you look at Brunson and you say, boy, Brunson is struggling and Julius is great, so let's get it to Julius and kind of feed the beast. If there was a beast that needed to be fed, it was Brunson. It was one of his best. I mean, he was phenomenal in that game last night. Why would you not get the ball to him?
Julius Randle did not have a good night. He was 6-19. His numbers look fine, but he did not have a good night.
When you look at his numbers almost any night, you're going to look at them and say, oh, he scored 22 and had an 11 or 12 or 14 and 4 assists. They're always going to look okay. But you have to look past the numbers. He was not good last night.
No. I mean, of all the people, I'm telling you, like, I'm sure that's every Knicks fan's thought in that moment is why the hell is Julius the one now, especially in this game? I get he's one of your best players, and I'm usually the first on the show to defend him, but a night where he didn't shoot well, Brunson had 16 in the first half. He ends up with 37 for the game, but I mean, he's the guy that's going to make the right play. He's going to get himself in the spot to make, you know, to give you the best chance with the best shot, or he's going to make the play out of whatever double team they throw at him.
You want the ball to go through your best player, and without question, your best player last night was Jalen Brunson. Why they decided to have him inbounded, go to Randle. The only thing I could think of.
But did you see? Hold on. Did you see where Randle ended up, though, Dave?
He ended up in no man's land, and he was double teamed by maybe the best two defenders in the NBA.
Well, because they all know what he's trying to do. He gets to that spot and he tries to get to his left. And as soon as LeBron James came down with the double team, but even if he doesn't, like, he's got the shot that he's going to have to make. It looked like it was going to have to be over the edge of the backboard.
Yeah, there was no chance he was going to make that shot. That is not the play. The play is get the ball to him and get rid of it quickly when you see that there's a double going to you. And I didn't even think he thought about giving the ball up in that situation.
Well, I think LeBron did a pretty good job of waiting, but still, I would rather the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands in that moment. By the way, I mean, Jalen Brunson's your best one-on-one player anyway.
Of course he is. And he's your best passer. So what are we doing here? My question would be, why is Brunson inbounding the ball? Unless the plan was to get it right back to him. But even so, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, you're asking me questions I can't answer. I just know in that moment, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, the play I'm drawn up has Jalen Brunson with the ball in his hands making the decision. Right? Like, that's how it has to be. Unless Julius Randle's just on a heater and he's just having one of those games where let's get this guy the ball because he's just everything he shoots he makes.
I mean, if he's 15-22 and he's got, you know, 38 points and he can't miss, that's different. But that was not the case. In fact, I thought he was not very good at all offensively. And who was your best offensive player last night? It's not even a question. Your best offensive player was Jalen Brunson. So in the biggest moment of the game, let's have him inbound the ball and be out of the play. What sense does that make at all? And I'm not quizzing you. I know you agree with me. I'm just, it's so frustrating because you see it happening all the time.
Well, I just think in those moments, I mean, we've seen enough of this. And even when he's, I mean, he's great. And trust me, I think that Julius Randle is a really good player. And he's having an unbelievable season. But just in those moments, like the reason why you brought Jalen Brunson here is for those moments. Like, I don't know how you don't trust him. I know he trusts him, but I don't know, man. It was a head scratcher to me that was how we were going to try to win this game with him with the ball in his hand, knowing they were going to double him at some point.
Let's hear from Thibodeau. Here he is on the last play of regulation.
There's three options on that play, and so they have to read the defense. LeBron was on Jalen, and Davis was on Julius. Depending on what they're doing, it can go either way. So there's options on that play. That's why it's set up the way it is.
Stop
yeah, but
it.
Why? Here's my problem, though. Why give him the options, though?
What
give Brunson the options.
Well, right. What option do you think? Let's see. Julius, you can take the ball to the basket and try and score, or you can dish it off to someone else who's going to have a better matchup. What option do you think Julius Randle is going to take 100 times out of 100?
Well, don't get me wrong either. LeBron James did a good job, but still. That's not the point. The point is, if the play is drawn up with these different options, let Jalen Brunson be the one to make the decision in that moment. Because, he's the guy, he's your best ball handler. He's the guy that's supposed to be the one that distributes, that's supposed to have the ball in the big moments to either, tie a game or win a game. Not to mention the fact that he was your best offensive player last night.
It's so frustrating. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing all the time.
I mean,
I thought they got themselves back into the game early because of Quickly. I thought he was excellent last
night. Right, Hartenstein was great in the first half, too. Yeah, I don't know. It's like you see it so many times. It's just like, how is everyone saying the same thing, and yet the play is drawn up the way it's drawn up?
How many times
do you have to see it?
And again, just to go back to it, that's why when they beat Boston, I couldn't crush them, because I know. I mean, look at what they've done. They have that win. You feel a little decent about it, and you're upset. Kay had the same tact as you. And I'm like, I'm not going to go there. I'm excited by it. It's a win against maybe the best team in the Eastern Conference, and you follow it up with a game where you don't show up at all, and a game where you're right there, and you can't get the win at home against it. Let's be fair. That's not a good Lakers team.
No, but it's garbage, though. No, seriously. Like, we talked about this all day yesterday with the NBA and how players with load management and Kyrie and everything else. But this is garbage, though, is that the Nets team gets to face the Lakers without LeBron.
I said that yesterday.
I know, but it made me even more angry that we lost, and that was the case.
Yeah, because you know why? And everyone said, this is a rivalry. This is a two-team city. No, it's not. Listen, the Nets are the better team. I'm not arguing that. Nobody cares about the Nets. If they cared about the Nets, they wouldn't all take the night off against the Nets and all come out and play on Broadway against the Knicks.
Hey, can we get off to a better start, please?
They had 5 points like 8 minutes into the game.
But they started off 2 for 15.
That was dreadful. It was dreadful. That game annoys me so much, and it gets no easier. So
well,
now you have Miami, who won an important game against Cleveland last night, and then you get the Clippers. And all of a sudden, fighting for the sixth seed, you know what you're going to be doing? And you're a week away now from the trade deadline. It's a week from tomorrow. You're going to be fighting for the 9 seed the way you're playing right now.
Yeah, but did you hear what Julius said after the Nets game when they played the Nets?
Oh, that they just didn't have it?
Hey, we just weren't ready for whatever reason. How does that happen?
I don't know. I find this team so incredibly annoying and frustrating.
Yeah, because it feels like they have talent, man. They got good players. They don't have a superstar, but they got good players. Like, this is one of those teams that you watch play and you're like, okay, there's no, like, you saw when they played Brooklyn and what Kyrie did in the fourth quarter, right? It's like, okay, it's closing time. Superstar steps up. He's going to take us home. They don't really have that, right? Like, that's not,
no.
They don't have someone at that level, which means that when you're a team like that and you don't have someone at that level, that you have to, like, your system has to be what makes the difference for you. Like, you're so good. Everyone has a role in the system, and because you play the system so well, it makes up for the fact that you don't have a superstar. And then you watch last night, and slow start, get themselves back in it. Quickly's great in the first half. Hartenstein's great in the first half. And then, you get fortune because LeBron makes the three late, and then he falls in love with it, and he decides because the Knicks were in the penalty with almost 4:45 left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Lakers really kind of hemorrhaged down the stretch there, too.
Right, I got LeBron settling for a long two, a three. He misses, like, gives us a chance, and then we have the ball at home with the chance to win this game. And the play that we draw up is, hey, Julius, we're going to give you the ball, and you'll have three different options. Just make the right choice.
Right, yeah, because that's what you want. Because Julius Randle is going to unload the ball in that moment. It's never going to happen. It doesn't happen. It shouldn't go through him. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. 1-800-919-3776. So as we sit here now, the Knicks are in the seventh spot with 25 losses. Hawks, Wizards, 26. Bulls, 27. Pacers, 28. Raptors, 29. That's a lot of teams that are right there now. You need to win these games.
Yeah, it's all bunched up. All bunched up.
All bunched up is right.
I think
all right,
the better question, though, is are you better than Miami? Are you better than
Cleveland? You're not better than Miami, no.
Okay, so I mean, so we're now we're saying we're not going to be. You don't think we have any chance to be a six seed then?
Any chance? I wouldn't say expectation. No, you're going to be in that 7 to 10 range.
Ugh.
No, you're going to be the only team you have a chance to catch is Miami. I'll tell you what, that game on Thursday night against Miami is a monster basketball game.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, but. I mean, we have to figure out the end of these games, man.
It's been a problem for a long time.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So annoyed by that game last night. So annoyed. Such a terrible loss.
The whole thing aggravated me, though. I think it was you that started it for me. I mean, a bad mood. Like, this is garbage.
What did I do?
Oh, no, because you pointed it out, and you're absolutely right. This is garbage, man. Like, everyone knew that Anthony Davis and LeBron James were going to play last night.
Of course they were going to play.
Yeah, well, LeBron
had the ankle. They were going to test the ankle pregame to see if it was able to go during the game against the Knicks. Yeah, I'm sure at the Garden on Broadway against the Knicks, primetime national television, that ankle's going to figure out a way to be okay.
Yeah, a third triple-double at MSG. Come on, man. That's a joke.
I told you.
You know what's pissed me off, too, was they're down 110-108, and they had the four-shot possession.
Oh, my God. Ugh. And it was such great offensive rebounding, and they kept getting wide-open looks, and they just continued to miss them. Other teams don't. When other teams get that, those are game-defining possessions, right? It's like, remember when they had four chances, and they hit the three, and they went up, and then they never relinquished it, and they ran away with the game?
Yeah, I do.
Right? But not the Knicks.
But no. No, I mean that, and just again, I just don't understand. Like, I like Tibbs a lot, and I think there's been some criticism. I mean, the two big criticisms of Tibbs is that he wears his players down, which, listen, I have no problem with. I mean, guys, I want guys that play hard, play defense. So if they wear down, that's what's going to happen. But the other one is you know, offensively, is he able to? I mean, he's a great defensive coach, but does he have the creativity offensively?
Doesn't feel like it.
And for him to drop that play, man, and then try to explain it. Like, okay, that's fine. Draw it up, but draw it for the wrong guy.
Absolutely you did. And that's such, I mean, did you need to take a timeout for that?
For him, no.
For that, if I had said to you, what do you think is going to happen? You would have said, they're going to give it to Randle, or he's just going to dribble and take some ridiculous shot.
Down to the baseline.
Like, you didn't need a timeout for that.
No. No, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to explain.
But again, it's just
more of what we've seen, though. That's the worst part.
Yes, it is. The best coached teams is like the teams when they take a timeout and they come out, what kind of play are they running? And to come out with that, and then, and this is, you know, it's often this. Listen, I think Tibbs is fine. I don't love him. I don't hate him. I think he's, you know, guys play for him, but I mean, end game moments are not good for this team.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the job of the coach, man, in those moments. Like, you, I mean, again, this is Julius Randle has earned his trust. It's clear. He loves Julius Randle, and that's fine. Julius Randle's played really well for him. That's great. But, I mean, you bent over backwards to bring in Jalen Brunson, and he's been, I mean, nothing short of amazing for us.
And last night, he was great.
That's my point, though.
Yes.
Like, and that's why, again, it's why you bent over backwards, to bring in a point guard that could facilitate the offense, make it easier for everyone else. I don't need Julius to make it easier for Jalen. I need Jalen to make it easier for everybody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Here's one more from Tom Thibodeau on Randall's decision on that final play in regulation.
Thought he did a good job of catching the ball because they jumped to the outside, catching the ball where he did. And again, I thought the attack and the mindset was good. Now, what he had was he had the pursuit from, and he's got the clock working against him as well because, you know, where we were with the clock, and LeBron was chasing. So he's coming from behind. It's easy to look, you know, I want to see the film. So we'll take a look at it and, you know, see what if there's anything we could have done differently on it.
All right, so we're going to make excuses. That's fine.
But LeBron is one of the smartest players in the history of the NBA. Right?
Absolutely.
Anyone you talk to, like, you saw, you know, how his mind works. Tibbs was saying it the other day about him. Like, everyone on the Lakers knew exactly when Randle gets in that spot, you saw it all game long, he's going to try to spin and get to his left every single time. And LeBron knew exactly what was coming. And he waited because he's smart. I mean, that's just
he waited until they had no time, and then he doubled, and then there was no way he could kick it out at that point. So it was going to be, you know, Julius Randle against two of the elite defenders in the NBA.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's great. All right, let's get to the calls. People all fired up about this from last night.
What do you mean that's not how you like to draw? You like to draw it up?
I mean, if I had said to you, well, what's the worst thing you could possibly draw up, you'd say that. Right? I mean, that was as bad as it could possibly be, unless you turned it over.
It's like drawing up a play in the NFL where it's almost like the Cowboys play with Zeke at center.
Zeke, right? It was like the Giants. What do you get, coach, 3rd and 9? What do you want to do? Just run forward as far as you can.
No, here's the play, guys. We're going to have our best receiver, and we're going to have him run into double coverage against the two best corners on their team. Good luck.
Yeah, that's the plan. Oh, so annoying. Joe in Queens. Good morning, Joe. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Just wanted to say a few things really quick, and then I'll hang up and let you guys go. You know, being 38 years old, my hairline is already thinning. Because I wore ball caps longer than I should have. Now it's definitely due to the Knicks. I'm leaning towards just shaving it off. You know, when we had trash teams and we were losing, it was frustrating then. Having a team now that I know can be good is even more frustrating when we lose games like this. I would prefer to just watch a trash team if we're just going to lose. But I want to touch on that last four-second play that you guys talk about. I think the play that was drawn up by Tibbs is fine. I completely blame Randle on that play. As someone who played and coached and I now ref AAU, that was a good drawn up play. It's on Randle to know as an NBA player that double team is coming. So he shouldn't have been making a move to look for his shot. He should have been playing it knowing that double is going to come. Because
but
that's
Joe, why do you want, here's my question for you. Let me interrupt you for a second. Why do you want Randle being that decision maker and not Brunson? Like, if that same play was for Brunson, I would feel okay.
But that's what I was going to get to. As a coach, if I'm the Lakers coach or if I'm the defending coach, with 4 seconds left, I'm going to tell my guys, give them 2 seconds, and in the last 2 seconds, bum rush the double.
Right.
So if my two best players is Randle and Brunson, and I know that double is going to come, I want the ball in the hands of my taller player. Because, of course, you know what two players are going to. It's going to be AD, and it's going to be LeBron. If that same double team goes towards Brunson, can you trust the player that's only six feet tall on his tippy toes trying to pass over those two, or would you prefer Randle on that play?
I don't want it to go to Randle. I
know what you're saying, Joe.
But see this. You don't want it to go to Randle because it's Randle.
Right.
Now, had it been another player that was of his height, had a better IQ, you would have wanted to go to that person because you can trust that person is going to make that pass.
Maybe.
But now in that situation, you got to play the odds. Am I going to trust that Randle is going to make that pass because he has a better chance to make it, or do I want to trust that Brunson is going to make the pass, but the likelihood of it getting tipped and stolen because he's getting towered over by these two guys. You got to play the odds. As Rick just said, Tibbs has earned Randle has earned the trust of Tibbs. I don't know why, but he has. You know what I mean? And that play, I think it was a good drawn up play. I just think that the players that it was for was unfortunately Randle just didn't make a right decision. I don't think that he had it in his mind at all to pass.
He was not going to pass the ball. Never once. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Oh, where was
call.
The outlet, though? That would be the other question I asked. Like, I mean, where he dribbled the ball to, where was the outlet going to be with LeBron trailing for the double team? Like Brunson, I mean, who was the outlet supposed to be? Was the ball supposed to, like, draw the double and then throw it back to Brunson? I mean, Brunson wasn't – it's not like Brunson put himself in a great spot either.
No. I didn't even know where Brunson was on the play.
I think he was up at top. He was up. I mean, he was up at the top by the 3-point line.
I don't know. I looked at that play and I watched it a lot of times.
After he inbounded it, yeah.
Never once did I think to myself, "Boy, that was well drawn up." And just Julius went rogue. I just thought it was a terrible play call.
Well, here's the thing though, because he's not wrong, right? Like, I mean, that I understand the concept, and the guy most likely to draw the most attention has been Julius Randle. But it's, do you trust Julius Randle to make the right play out of that double team?
Let me ask you: do you trust Julius Randle to make the right play?
No, I don't. I don't care how tall Jalen Brunson is. If they send the double team, I'll take my chances with Jalen Brunson.
Yes, to find
otherwise
the open
one-on-one,
guy.
He's one-on-one. He's a better player,
and he was much better last night. It's just it's another rough loss, and this is the world we live in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
No RJ Barrett. I mean, it's a big game. No RJ Barrett at all down the stretch, Rick. That speaks volumes. I mean, Tibbs has guys that are his guys, i.e. Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett can't be on the court in the biggest moments of the game?
Like, quickly in his mind was the better option. Was having the better game. I mean, RJ Barrett through three quarters was 2 for 10.
But you don't think this is a problem?
Is it a problem? It's not a great look. It's not a great look. If that's what you feel like is your best option, in the last almost 7 minutes of a game that you have a chance to win, and then overtime.
Do you think that we would ever get to a situation where 5 minutes to go in a game and overtime, Jalen Brunson's had a subpar game, and it's just like, all right, Jalen's not going to play?
No. No, those RJ is apparently not at the level of, I think he views Brunson and Randle as his two best players, and then whoever else gives him the best, whatever three give him the best chance.
I'll tell you what, he better get to that level, and he better get there quickly.
They need him to. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the trade deadline and everything else, but I mean, it's like he was the guy you pointed to. If this team was going to take that next step or be a legitimate threat to be a 5 seed or a 6 seed, like he was gonna have to step up, and not just be a good player. Like, you drafted him with a 3rd overall pick. The expectation is to be, like, you're hoping for him to be a perennial all-star, right? Like, that's why. I mean, that's
of course.
Again, you had Zion.
Nothing like that.
You had Zion go. Well, you had Zion go 1, Ja go 2. You had RJ Barrett 3.
Yeah, which is. I mean, if you had to cuddle, marry, trash those three guys. If you had to, I think it's obvious easy. Now, actually.
I mean, I think you married Ja, you cuddle Zion.
You
married
Ja, you cuddle Zion, and you trash RJ.
I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, here's Tom Thibodeau. Why was RJ Barrett benched down the stretch?
We're just looking for a group to get going, you know. So the group that was out there was what we went with.
Here's the thing, though.
Well, we know the group.
I said this to
you.
He's trying to dance around it. I said this to you last week. When you look at, so you have Julius and RJ, who are, I mean, both, the way they like to score is similar, right? But they're not, like, RJ Barrett is not a good, he's not a great 3-point shooter.
No.
Like, best fit for the lineup, and you saw it yesterday, was what can Quickly do? Quickly can shoot from 3, right? Grimes can shoot from 3.
Yes.
So now, and then, I mean, even Hartenstein on the floor is a better offensive option than Mitch is. But, I mean, trust me, if we had Mitch, it's
better. Very different.
But that makes more sense. Mitch is not a threat offensively. And now what you see a lot of these teams do is I have, you know, Jalen with the ball or Randall drawing the double team, and now I can kick it out to guys that can shoot threes, which is Grimes and Quickly. Like I mean, how many times have we said this about Leon Rose with the roster? It just doesn't.
It's clunky.
It doesn't feel well put together.
It does not at all. All right, let's go. We got a lot of people lined up. I want to give everyone their 2 cents today. John in Huntington. Good morning, John. You're on 98.7.
Dave, Rick, morning, boys. Before I get to my next point, I have a colossal confession to make. I am the Chris Carlin impersonator.
Wow.
I've been calling the past 2 months.
So John in Huntington.
I love it.
Is the Chris Carlin impersonator.
It's a very, very good nice. Impersonation.
It is. You know, I felt I just owed it to the people to throw that out there. But, no, as far as the Knicks, I think they're a 500 team. To me, with this roster, they're kind of like a frustrating season-long reversion to the mean. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna revert back to what they are, no matter how good or bad it gets, and that's 500. We talk about the ascension of RJ Barrett, and it's funny because it's like when I tell my wife I'm going to the gym, like, you know, I want it to happen, I can see it happening, but like I feel like we all know like what the story is, it's not happening. Last thing before I turn it back over to you guys, do I unretire Carlin? I have a very good Keyshawn. I just, you know, I just want to make sure I'm giving the people what they want.
Oh, we respect that. Do you work on these? Like, is it you spend time? You're in the shower and you're like,
well, he doesn't
right,
go to the gym.
This.
Well, I definitely don't go to the gym. That's for sure. no, it's not really. I mean, listen, I'm one of these hybrid types, right? I'm in the city a few days a week. The days I'm in, I listen to you guys religiously, so it's kind of impromptu. Like, you know, on the drive in, I'll call on impulse.
Wow, you keep this up, you could get a you could host a morning show in this town at some point.
Yeah, you could. With voices and stuff. Who do you do? So you got Carlin, you got Keyshawn, who else you got?
I mean, I do a mean Michelle Scalise.
All right, so
that's
tomorrow this is what
it,
I want. This is what I want tomorrow, John. I want you to practice for whenever you get some time today, practice. I want a full on Keyshawn tomorrow.
Oh. All right, done.
All right.
Perfect.
We look forward to that. Thank you, John.
All right, boy.
And thank you for that admission. I was wondering, every night I go to bed, I'm like, who is calling as Carlin? Now I know.
Oh, because he wanted to out himself because now he's gonna be a big shot in Huntington.
Well, you know what it is also now it feels like he's taking that next step. Like he wants everyone to know who he is. Right?
True people.
He's looking for celebrity status.
Yeah, he's gonna be walking around Huntington, you know, goes into Besito, Tony's Tacos, like, oh hey. We heard you on Rock.
I got my bar mitzvah suit in Huntington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Marsh's. I don't know if that's still there.
It's still there.
Is it right?
Oh, you are bougie. Marsh's is a nice place.
That's where you get your bar mitzvah suit.
I'm just saying, it's a nice place. Probably an expensive suit.
I love how you look at me as bougie, but you who, you know, spares no expense for anything is, you think I would have been happy going to JCPenney getting my bar mitzvah suit. I didn't care.
Yeah, well, because I grew up in the mean streets of Winter, Massachusetts, and you were in the bougie
streets
of
where you take other people's remote controls and then control other people's TVs.
It wasn't the time out. It wasn't other people's remotes. It was I went out and purchased my own Universal remote.
So you purchased your own. This is so good, by the way. But how do you? So that remote worked on any television?
Yeah. All you had to do was program it, so you'd see
but
what
how
kind
could
of TV.
You, how do you know what kind of TV everybody had that you? Could
oh, because you could
just
see it from. It would only work on TVs that you could see from the window. So you'd see it. It would say whatever the TV was, and then I'd look up the code. I would type it in, and then I had full control of the TV.
So smart.
I was amazing.
So and nobody ever turned around to realize that someone else is doing this.
No, like what person would think to themselves? There's someone that just took control of my TV from the from outside and is changing my channels. The guy picked the TV up and spiked it.
He broke the TV.
Smashed it. He was dead because he was asleep, and we turned it on, and he was all pissed off. He came down, shut it off. I waited for him to go back upstairs, and I turned it on and put the volume up, and he got fed up with it.
Did you not feel remotely guilty that you just cost that man hundreds of
No, because he wasn't nice. He was a bad neighbor.
He was a bad man.
Yeah, he was a bad neighbor. And then the last time I did it, he shut it off and turned his back, and I turned it right back on, and that's when That was the final straw. Wait,
now, was this man, he didn't get into Harvard. Couldn't he have unplugged the television?
Yeah, probably. That would have been probably the best thing to do.
Right. Like, you know what? Let me unplug it and call the repairman for tomorrow. But instead, this Mensa member decided, let me smash it?
Smashed it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
All right.
Where do you think Such was at that point?
I think Such was right behind you. Or, no. Well, either right behind you or home in bed.
Just gone.
Gone, yeah.
Gone. He is not a guy.
So you say, I'm not a foxhole guy. Such is not a foxhole guy.
Such is definitely not a foxhole guy. He's out. I would actually take you before Such in the foxhole.
How about that?
I think you'd last longer.
I think so, too.
We try to get Such a fake ID. He ran away. The guy's like, oh, we have your ID ready. And he's like, I don't want it. And he ran away.
I got taken advantage of when I tried to get my first ever fake ID.
I'm going
to
need that clipped, RJ, just that
first
part.
That's fine. So we're at Times. You want to hear the story?
Of course.
Times Square. Went to the Big East tournament. Probably like 15 or 16. At Times Square. I mean, that's a big deal, especially back in the day. It's a terrifying place. Walk up to a guy. He's like, I got fake IDs. You need fake IDs? Yeah. All right, $40 each. Great. What name you want on it? The whole thing. $40 name. That man never showed up again. Took the money.
He took your $40.
I'm going to go into the store right here. Gone.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
Gone.
I had that. So we were in, my wife took me to Canal Street for the first time. And they have like the knockoff bags and everything else.
Right.
But I had no idea what the hell was happening. We were just like shopping around. They're like, oh, here, we have some of these. We have fake Gucci bags at this one place. And then all of a sudden, you're looking around. And then I don't know if it's because the cops are coming or whatever, but they close the door and lock it. And you're just stuck in there until things calm down. I almost had a nervous breakdown.
But they wouldn't let you leave the store?
No, they don't let. They closed like the metal grate and you can't get out.
Well, that's not good.
And you have to wait.
That's not good. Ugh. All right, let's get back to the next calls because they're so uplifting. Ted in the truck. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick.
What's going on, sexy Ted?
How are you? I got two points to make about the Knicks. One is about Grimes. One is about Randall. If I got to keep watching Randall all year, it's going to drive me nuts. I've wanted him traded for literally seasons now. The fact that the ball goes to him at the end is maddening. You got Grimes playing over Barrett, and he's marked as some 3-point shooter. He's 0 for 5 last night. He hasn't had over 15 points in a month. Okay, I want to see Barrett out there over Randall and Grimes, and Randall is sucking the development out of Barrett and Toppin. These guys need to be playing. I don't need to watch Randall anymore.
Well, it's not going to happen. Ted, you can smash your head into the wall, too, and be frustrated by that. It's not going to happen. Randall is Tibbs's guy, and he is going to play, and the offense is going to be run through him and Brunson, and that's it. And the sooner you accept it, the easier it'll be to tolerate.
Oh, I've accepted it. I can't stand it. They need to trade him. He's got a little bit of value right now. Get rid of him. I heard that they can get Zach LaVine, possibly. I mean, I'd sign up for that tomorrow. I mean, come on.
Where is Zach LaVine playing now?
Shooting guard over Grimes. All right, he's way better. I would say Grimes and Randall and a first tomorrow.
I think it was part of, I mean, it was part. Wasn't Grimes one of the reasons why they didn't trade?
Yeah, they wouldn't make the trade.
Mitchell?
Yep. They love Grimes.
They're kind of stuck in the middle here. Like, they're in this weird spot.
That's the worst spot to be in.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, because he's not wrong. Like, I don't know what R.J. Barrett could be or what his ceiling is, but Ted's probably right. Like, he's not going to reach whatever it was with Randall here, and neither is Toppin. But that, I mean, if you get rid of Julius Randall, what are you?
You probably take a big step back, a huge step back. I mean, I don't like him, and I don't think you win with him, but the guy is 20-plus points and 10-plus rebounds a game. That's a big miss if you move on from him.
Right, depending on what you get back in return. But it's just, like, Tibbs, I mean, you know what the other problem is, too, is that when this team was at its best, they had, I mean, you threw in, they had a legitimate bench unit that they would throw in, and you would take advantage. Like, one of the strengths of your team was your bench.
Well, now, right, I mean, Robinson is not there, so
he's
now
out.
One of your bench pieces,
he won't play Reddish.
The starter, right?
He won't play Reddish.
Reddish, no. Derrick Rose is unplayable. So all these, right? We have all this depth in this whole bench, and you really don't.
Well, no. I mean, Obi played 10 minutes, and Ducey played 9. Before it was the whole. Yeah, how many times did we talk about the bench unit? Rosen quickly. Yeah, but that was like one of the strengths of the team.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Not
I mean,
anymore.
Fournier doesn't get off the bench. I mean, it's just...
Well, and he shouldn't.
And then I heard yesterday, when Bart finally made it to the show, Bart and Hahn, 12-3, Alan brought up the fact that Cam Reddish is represented by Clutch, who represents OG and Anobi. And are they because so it's Leon Rose and CAA against Clutch, and the fact that Cam is a Clutch guy and they're not playing him, how does that affect?
It's great.
Awesome.
It's great. O'Reilly Auto Parts, they're great too, and they offer convenient options for you to get your parts very quickly. Place your order at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up that order at your local store. They'll even bring it to you curbside. You don't even have to get out of your car. Or have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get back to the call, shall we? And let's go to Aaron in the car. Good morning, Aaron. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Shout out to the company. How we doing?
We're hanging in there. We're annoyed today.
I hear that. Before I get to my next points, just want to say, behind every great man, there's a great woman. And on behalf of the entire company, just want to wish the happiest of birthdays to Cassie.
That's very nice.
So nice, Aaron. Thank you very much. She'll be really happy. She's probably listening right now. She'll be very happy that you said that.
I love it. Hope you have an awesome day.
Thank you, my man.
But on the Knicks, I mean, I don't get, like, I don't understand Tibbs' inability to draw something up that at least creates a clean look. Like, it's always put the ball in Randall's hands and let him play hero ball. Like, I'm sick and tired of watching it. He's always double covered, and he still tries to either go to the basket or powerhouse it or just take a shot over two guys. I mean, I don't understand why the ball is in his hands in that spot. And to your point that you said earlier, that's why they brought Brunson in, and he's inbounding the ball there. It makes no sense to me.
He was relying on the fact that Julius was going to draw the double team, and that Julius would make the right decision out of the double team.
If I would have told you, and thanks for the call, Aaron, and thanks for the kind words for Cassie, if I would have told you before that play that it's going to go to Randall and he's going to find the open guy, you would have said that sounds like a good idea or no?
No.
No, exactly. And I bet you almost everyone listening would say the same exact thing. That's not appropriate. We don't want that. It's not going to work. And much like you thought and you feared, it didn't work.
No, I would say to him, listen, I love you. You know how much I love you. And then in these moments, I feel more comfortable with Jalen Brunson having the ball and making it easier for everyone around him.
But you shouldn't have
you.
To say, I love you. Like, you shouldn't have to coddle
you gotta
him.
You got to massage egos, Dave.
But why?
Because it's like you, because he'll quit like you do it, then CMT. I'm out.
So you think I have a lot of Julius Randle?
No, I think that you're somebody that needs their ego massage.
So like if we were doing a show and someone else on the show, one of the other three of you guys, was clearly having a better show than me, I would say run it through me, or I would say, you know what, let me take a step back. You don't need to explain to me. I get it. Run it through those guys.
No, I think what you would do is he dropped the play and it wasn't going through you, and you would say, that's it.
No.
Like Scottie
Pippen.
No, Pippen.
I would not do that.
Yeah, you'd be like Pippen.
I wouldn't even go out onto the court.
Yeah, you'd be like Pippen. You'd be like, that's fine. I'm not going on the court.
Even when RJ puts up these awful CMTs, I still battle through.
Yeah, but it takes some work to get you back.
I battle my way right through.
RJ, please.
I battle.
RJ.
RJ's not going to talk to you
support
now.
Support me, RJ.
What no. are you trying? What are you
Santiago,
battling
support
through?
Support me.
Santiago 6. Do you think that I'm Julius Randle of this show?
You're stubborn, as you claim Julius Randle to be. You say you battle through. I mean, isn't that the definition of what Julius Randle's trying to do?
Does, but Raymond, he doesn't battle through. It's
I do
not like
battle.
He just like he keeps his mouth shut and just battles through it. He has to quit first, and then you have to walk him through it.
Well, that's his definition of battling through.
Yeah,
I'm using
a
loose definition here.
But I have lesser help than Randle sometimes.
What? Like what is that?
I'm it's just a saying, shot at all of us is what that is.
Oh, I'm just saying there are times when you look at the help that I have and it's like, oof, Obi Toppin looks like a better answer than what I'm working with. At times. Not all the time. Sometimes.
That's literally you ripping the ball. That would be like if Julius Randle ripped the ball away from Jalen Brunson. Forget about the inbound. Just tried to take it to the hole himself.
If there was one player in the NBA that I said the play was designed for someone else, another player came over, ripped it out of his hands, and tried to attack the basket, that guy clearly every day would be Julius Randle.
But I'm saying that's sort of what you do here on an everyday basis.
Speaking of which, did you see the video of Julius Randle's son?
Knocking down the kid on his basketball team and taking the ball away?
Yes. That was so cute.
Cute, but it defines so many things. Where do you think he got that from? If dad does it. Right?
Kids are the best, man.
Let's get a mic in the car. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have an issue with mediocrity, and that's what this team's teetering on. We're never going to move forward with Randle. Time to trade him while we can. Do not trade for OG from Toronto. It makes no sense. You're going to give up assets. You're going to set you back. It's time to, I don't want to say blow it up, but it's time to move on. And not only from Randle, but possibly from Tibbs, too.
It feels like you missed your opportunity is what it feels like right now in this moment.
What, with the Donovan Mitchell trade?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I'm having a hard time identifying who the next guy is going to be.
I am tremendously disappointed and surprised that RJ Barrett has, you could almost say, taken a step back this season.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe there is something to be said about, I mean, the fact that it is Julius Randle's team and he's Tibbs' guy and he just hasn't had the opportunity. I'm not making excuses for him, but like, does he take it to a next level if it's, you know, it's just him and Brunson?
Like,
is it his personality to kind of just take a bit of a back seat?
Maybe Julius Randle's the alpha? Maybe he's not the alpha. But here's the thing. Do you want a guy who's not the alpha, right?
No, I don't, but I would also like it. I mean, if your mindset was he's the third overall pick and we feel like he could be a better version of Julius Randle, a perennial all-star, he could be, you know, well, he could develop that consistency, then yeah, I would want to put him in the best, you know, the best position to do that. And if I felt like this was holding him back, then...
Oh, I agree with you. But God forbid you move on from Julius Randle and RJ Barrett doesn't take that next step. Now what are you?
Well, now you're screwed is what it is.
Exactly that. So that gets me anxious also.
Well, it's just you're caught in this, in whatever you want to call it, the treadmill of mediocrity or whatever it is. It's just, I mean, it doesn't feel like I don't know where it's headed. Because if you do make those deals, you're probably like, who knows if you even stay in the play-in. And then on top of that, like, if you do make a deal, is that getting you through a first-round playoff series against Philly or whoever you got to play against?
No. I don't think there's anything you can do realistically that gets you to beat any of those teams. That would be my take.
So why would you start trading off assets then?
Why would you start trading off like draft capital and stuff?
Right now.
Yeah.
Like if any move you make is not going to, it's going to what? Extend a series to five or six games as opposed to getting swept?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. They're in a very difficult spot because they're right in the middle. They're not good enough to do anything, and they're not bad enough to wind up with one of the big players in this year's draft either.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.